They swarmed up the bamboo scaffolding, and when they had reached the cliff top, Royan was surprised to discover that although the earth was wet underfoot from the recent rain squalls, the sun was high and hot. She had lost all sense of time in the cold, gloomy passages of the tomb, and now she held up her face to the sunlight and drank it in gratefully for a moment, while Nicholas checked the porters and made certain that they were all out of the chasm. Sapper set off at the head of the column along the trail through the thorn forest, with the file of porters strung out behind him. Nicholas and Royan waited until all the men were on the pathway before they themselves brought up the rear of the column. The sound of the fighting was frighteningly close now. It seemed to be almost at the brink of the chasm, close behind them, less than half a mile away. The crackle of automatic fire gave a spring and a lift to the feet of the porters, and the entire party raced back through the forest to reach the main trail down to the monastery before they were cut off by Nogo's advance. Before they reached the junction of the paths, they ran into a party of stretcher-bearers carrying a litter. They, too, were headed down towards the monastery. Nicholas thought the person they were carrying was one of the wounded guerrillas of Mech's force, but even when he caught up with them, it took a moment for him to recognize Tessé's swollen and burned face. "Tessé!" He stooped over her. "Who did this to you?" She looked up at him with the huge dark eyes of a wounded child, and told him in halting, broken words. "Helm," Nicholas blurted. "I'd love to get my hands on that bastard." At that moment, Royan caught up with them, and she let out a small cry of horror as she saw Tessé's face. Then immediately she took charge of her. Nicholas spoke quickly to one of the stretcher-bearers, whom he recognized. "Meziera, what is happening out there?" "Nogo moved a force in from the east of the gorge. They outflanked us, and we are pulling out. This is not our kind of fighting." "I know," Nicholas remarked grimly. "Guerrillas must keep moving." "Where is Mechnema?" "He is retreating down the eastern bank of the chasm." As Mazura replied, they heard a renewed outburst of firing behind them. "That is him," Mazura nodded. "Nogo is pushing him hard." "What are your orders?" "To take Lady Sun to the boats and wait for Mechnema there." "Good," Nicholas told him. "We will go with you." The Jet Ranger was flying low, hugging the contours of the land, never cresting the high ground. Helm knew that Mechnema's Schufter were armed with RPGs, rocket launchers. In the hands of a trained man, these were deadly weapons against a slow-flying, unarmored aircraft such as the Jet Ranger. The pilot's defense was to use the terrain as cover, weaving and twisting up the valleys so as to deny the rocketeers a clear shot. Although the rain clouds were slumping down the escarpment into the Abbey Gorge, the helicopter was keeping well below them. However, the sudden squalls of wind rocked the machine dangerously, and splatterings of heavy raindrops rattled against the windshield. The pilot sat forward in the seat, leaning against his shoulder straps as he concentrated on the dangerous low flying in these unpleasant conditions. Helm sat in the right-hand seat beside the pilot. Von Schiller and Nahut Gudabi were together in the rear passenger seat, both of them craning nervously to peer out of the side windows as the heavily wooded slopes of the valley streamed past, seemingly close enough to touch. Every few minutes the radio crackled into life, and they could hear the terse transmissions of Nogo's men on the ground calling for mortar support or reporting objectives attained. The pilot translated the radio gabble for them, twisting round in his seat to tell Von Schiller. "There is a sharp firefight going on along the top of the chasm, but the Schufter are on the run. Nogo is handling his force well. They have just dislodged a strong force from the hillside to the east of us," he pointed out of the left-hand port, "and they are hammering the Schufter with mortars as they run."
"Have they reached the spot in the chasm where Quentin Harper was working?"
It isn't clear. All a bit confused." The pilot listened to the next burst of Arabic on the radio. I think that was Nogo himself speaking just then."
"Call him up,"
Von Schiller ordered Helm, leaning over the back of his seat.
"Ask him if they have secured the tomb site yet."
Helm reached across and lifted the microphone off its hook below the instrument panel.
"Rose Petal, this is Bismarck. Do you copy?"
There was a pause filled with static, and then Nogo's voice speaking English.
Go ahead, Bismarck.
Have you secured the primary objective? Over.
Affirmative, Bismarck. All secured. All opposition suppressed. I am sending men down the ladder to clear the workings.
Helms swiveled in his seat to look back at von Schiller.
Nogo has men in the chasm already. We can go in and land.
Tell him not to let any of his men into the workings before I arrive,
von Schiller ordered sternly. But his expression was triumphant.
I must be the first in there. Make him understand that.
While Helm relayed his orders to Nogo, von Schiller tapped the pilot on the shoulder.
How long to the objective?
About 5 minutes flying time, sir.
Circle the site when you arrive. Don't land until we are sure Nogo has it under his control.
The pilot lifted the collective, and the sound of the rotors altered as they changed pitch. The helicopter slowed and then hovered in midair while the pilot pointed down.
What is it?
Von Schiller followed his gesture.
What do you see?
The dam, Helm answered. Quentin Harper's dam. He did a load of work down there.
The wide body of trapped water gleamed grey and sullen under the rain clouds, tainted with the runoff from the highlands. The water diverted into the side canal boiled white and angrily down into the long valley.
Deserted, Helm commented. All Harper's men have pulled out.
What is that yellow object on the bank?
Von Schiller wanted to know.
That's the earth-moving machine. You remember? My informer told us about it.
Don't waste any more time, von Schiller ordered. Nothing more to see here. Let's go on.
Helm tapped the pilot's shoulder and gestured downstream.
Sapper was waiting for them to catch up at the junction of the trail, where the diverted river was roaring down the valley in a torrent and had washed out a long section of the original track. The porters, strung out in a long line down the valley, each with an ammunition crate balanced on his head, were picking their way along the higher ground above the water. Tessé's litter was near the rear of the column, with Royan and Nicholas trotting on each side of it and steadying it over the rough and uneven sections of the path.
"Where's Hansith?"
Nicholas shouted at Sapper, shading his eyes to check the men ahead of him, and trying to pick out the big monk's distinctive form from amongst the others in the caravan.
"I thought he was with you," Sapper shouted back. "I haven't seen him since we left the chasm."
Nicholas turned and stared back the way they had come, along the footpath through the thorn forest.
"Damn the man," he grunted. "We can't go back to look for him. He will have to make his own way down to the monastery."
At that moment they heard the faint but familiar flutter of rotors in the hot, humid air below the lowering cloud masses.
"The Pegasus chopper. Sounds as though von Schiller is heading directly for Taita's pool. He must have known all along exactly where we were working," said Nicholas bitterly. "Not wasting any time, like a vulture coming into a fresh carcass."
Ryan was also looking up at the sound, trying to pick out the shape of the aircraft against the dark clouds. Her face was flushed from the run, the tendrils of sweat-damp hair dangled down her cheeks.
"If those swine are allowed to enter our tomb, it will be a dreadful desecration of a sacred place," she said angrily.
Suddenly Nicholas reached across the litter and took her arm. His expression was stern and determined. "You're right.
Go on down to the monastery with Tessé. I'll follow you later."
Before she could protest or question him, she strode across to Sapper.
"I'm putting the two women in your care, Sapper. Look after them."
"Where are you going, Nicky?"
Royan had come up behind him and overheard his orders to Sapper.
"What are you going to do?"
"One little chore. Won't take me long."
"You aren't going back there," she was horrified. "You'll get yourself killed, or worse. You saw what Helm did to Tessé."
"Don't fuss yourself, my love," he laughed.
And before she realized what he intended, he kissed her full on the lips. While she was still flustered and confused by this display in front of so many men, he pushed her gently away.
"Take care of Tessé.
I'll meet you at the boats." Before she could protest further, he turned and struck out up the valley at a long-legged lope, which carried him over the rough terrain so swiftly that she had no further chance to prevent him.
"Nicky!"
she screamed after him despairingly.
but he pretended not to hear, and kept going, following the diverted river upstream, back towards the dam. The Jet Ranger followed the convoluted course of the river below the dam. At moments they could look directly down into the narrow gap between the high cliffs, into the shaded depths of the chasm, almost dry now, with only the occasional gleam of the shrunken and still pools. "There they are," Helm pointed dead ahead. There was a small cluster of men on the brink of the chasm. "Make sure that they are not Schufter." There was fear in von Schiller's voice. "No," Helm reassured him loudly. "I recognize Nogo, and that tall one beside him in the white shammer is the monk, Hansith Sharif, our informer." He shouted above the engine beat at the pilot. "You can go in and land. There. Nogo is waving you in." The moment the skids of the helicopter touched the ground, both Nogo and Hansith ran forward. Between them they helped von Schiller down from the passenger cabin and hustled him clear of the spinning rotors. "My men have secured the area," Nogo assured him. "We have driven the Schufter down the valley towards the river. This man is Hansith Sharif, who has been working beside Harper in the tomb. He knows every inch of the tunnels."
"Does he speak English?"
Von Schiller looked up at the tall monk eagerly.
"A little bit," Hansith answered for himself.
"Good, good,"
von Schiller beamed at him.
"Show me the way. I will follow you. Come on, good Abbey. It is about time you did some work for the money I am paying you."
Hansith led them quickly to the head of the scaffolding, where von Schiller paused and looked down nervously into the gloomy depths of the chasm. The bamboo framework seemed flimsy and rickety, the drop deep and terrifying. Von Schiller was on the point of protesting when Nahut Gudabi whimpered behind him.
"He does not expect us to climb down there, does he?"
His terror bolstered von Schiller immediately, and he turned on Nahut with relish.
"It is the only access to the tomb. Follow the man down, I will be close behind you."
When Nahut still hesitated, Helm put a calloused hand in the small of his back and shoved him forward.
"Get on with it. You're wasting time."
Reluctantly, Nahut started down the scaffolding after the monk, and von Schiller followed him. The framework of bamboo shook and swayed under their combined weight, and the drop to the rocks below sucked at them, but at last they reached the ledge beside Taita's pool. There they stood in a small group, staring about them in awe and wonder.
"There is the tunnel,"
von Schiller demanded, as soon as he had regained his breath. And Hansith beckoned to him to follow him to the wall of the small cofferdam. Here von Schiller paused and looked around at Helm and Nogo.
"I want you to remain on guard here. I will enter the tomb with Gudabi and this monk. I will send for you when you are needed."
"I would feel happier to be with you, to protect you, Herr von Schiller," Helm began.
But the old man frowned at him.
"Do as I tell you."
And with Hansith steadying him, he climbed stiffly down the wall of the coffer dam into the mouth of the tunnel. Nahut Gudabi followed him closely.
"The lights. Where does the power come from?"
von Schiller wanted to know.
"There is a machine," Hansith explained,
and at that moment they heard the soft burble of the generator ahead of them. None of them spoke again as they moved down the entrance tunnel after Hansith, until they reached the bridge over the dark waters of the sinkhole.
"It is a very rough construction," Nahut muttered,
his uneasiness at last giving way to professional interest. "It does not remind me of any other Egyptian tomb I have ever inspected. I think we may have been misled. It is probably some native Ethiopian workings."
"You are making a premature judgment," von Schiller admonished him. "Wait until we have seen the rest of what this man has to show us."
Von Schiller steadied himself with a hand on Hansith's shoulder as they crossed the bobbing pontoons of Baobab Wood, and he scrambled ashore on the far side with relief. They started up the rising section of the tunnel and passed the high water mark. As soon as the construction of the walls changed to packed and dressed stone, Nahut remarked on it.
"Ah! I was disappointed at first. I thought we'd been duped. But now one can see the Egyptian influence."
They reached the landing outside the ruined gallery on which stood the Honda generator.
By now, both von Schiller and Nahut were sweating with exertion and trembling with excitement.